Read it. Hallelujah. Well, Shirley, we'll open up to Psalms. We'll start with Psalms. Psalm 33. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, there, now Shirley's done. She's ready to go. Okay. Psalm 33. We're going to start with verse 4. It says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth." Verse 5, "He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." That should be a big hallelujah for that. That we must praise him for his justice, goodness, and truth appearing in his word and in his work. All God's words are right and they are true. That means they can be trusted. Our Bible is reliable, unlike people, because people's is people's. For God does not lie. He does not forget. He does not change his words or leave his promises unfulfilled. 2 Corinthians, you can hold your place there in Psalms, though. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 20, says right here, "For all the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us." Praise God. Very simply, we can trust the Bible because it contains the words of a holy, trustworthy, and unchanging God. But in Psalm 33, in that verse 4, it says, "All his work is done in truth." Truth here is also translated in faithfulness. Okay? Faithfulness to his promises that are in his word. Promises to the fulfillment of those promises for each and every one of us. All comes back to covenant. We have a covenant with him. Although the world is filled with evil and people who have no thought of God, we must not look at the apparent evil, chaos, confusion that is around us so that we can see the goodness of God. See, it's there. It's there. The goodness of God manifests itself every time the sun rises. Every time you hear the birds singing. Every time you see a mother cradling her child. That's the goodness of God. Out of his goodness, he holds the earth together. And he provides sustenance for all his people. I'll flip back to Psalm 31. Mine, I don't even have to flip back for. Psalm 31, verses 19 and 20. Psalm 31, 19 and 20 of the International Children's Bible. You got to get simple sometimes. You know what I mean, brother? Mm-hmm. "How great is your goodness! You have stored up for those who fear, revere, and worship you. You do good things for those who trust you. You do this for all to see." People will be looking And they're going to see the goodness of God all over your life. When you worship Him and you reverence Him. Verse 20, you protect them by your presence from what people plan against them. You keep them safe in your shelter from an evil world. Because we dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's why we say that constantly. The song, Goodness of God, I like that. All my life, you've been faithful. And all my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm going to sing of the goodness of God. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to sing of the goodness of God. Back over to Psalm 33 there. Verses 8 and 9. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. The fear of the Lord here means to have reverence and awe, especially for all who recognize and confess Him as Lord. Verse 9, for He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. This is in reference to creation, right here. Creation came because He spoke. Because He spoke. His words were the very source of creation. It was by His very breath that He made all things. The words of the song, So Will I, say it so well, as our brother recently has sang. God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark. You spoke to the dark. You hear that? I like that. You spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've made. Every burning star, a signal flame of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. God of your promise, you don't speak in vain. No syllable empty or vain and void of power. For once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. All nature and science. Science today is trying to figure out God. And a lot of them, they just can't figure out how it happens. It just happens. They can go back and give you their best theory. But see, they just don't know God. They don't know how God works. All nature and science follow. So with that, go this, and I thank the Lord for this. Genesis chapter 1. Now we'll be coming back, huh? Genesis chapter 1. Because I think this needs pointed out. Are we there, Shirley? Okay. Shirley says we're good to go then. All right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now understand, this is day number one, right? Now, that's what it goes down, tells you. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, that's very interesting. And then you go see there was day two, day three, where he created heavens. Now, I want you to look down here to verse 14. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens. See, he had to make the heavens before he made these lights. To divide the day from the night and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night, the moon. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the day from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Let there be light. That was day one. There was no sun. There was no moon. There was no stars to reflect the sun. Where do you think the light came from? Where do you think it came from? It came from God. His residence, His majesty, His glory. It was His glory that was shining that day. See, where the very presence of God is, darkness is dispelled. His presence actually wipes the darkness away. Hey, when Jesus came, what happened? Heavens opened up, angel came down, he was shining brightly, and the glory from heaven came down. And that wasn't even God. That was just the glory around him. It was shining. It shined so bright, it said that it was daylight for them shepherds. Man, would that be something else to happen, huh? But that, I just want you to understand that there it is. God's light has come to the world. And that light has been shining upon us. And we have that light in us. And we're supposed to let our light shine as well. Now back to Psalm 33. But I thought that was very, very interesting. I thought, wow. That's why Moses couldn't even look upon him. He was just in his presence, and look what it did to him. Washed him white. And it didn't age him. Sure made his hair white, though. And a beard. Yep. And just look at Charlton Heston. That'll you'll remember. Yeah. Praise God. Huh. I can see when Charlton Heston got to heaven, Moses said, you didn't even come close, brother. hallelujah. All right. But it says there, but if you go back to verse 6, it said, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Read it again. By the breath of his mouth. So we should be praising him for his mighty acts, and for all his excellent greatness. Because that's what it tells us in Psalm 150. And to let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's verse 4 and 5. We ought to be praising the Lord with every breath that is in us. Because the breath of life is in us, and that came from God. Think about that for a second. The day you came into this world, that was a breath of life into you. God's the only one who can bring that life. And he made it so it can automatically recur. That's why he said, be fruitful and multiply. Okay, verse 10, Psalm 33. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed, happy, envied is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his inheritance. The United States of America is God's nation. Amen? That should be unanimous. Amen. Real strong there. Because it's founded on his word. This nation was founded on his word. God's purpose and plan for America was declared on Cape Henry on April 26, 1607, when they nailed that cross there into the ground. See, God is far from being done with America. That's why we can confidently say, America shall be saved. Amen. See, we are living in exciting times. Not troublesome or worrying. These are exciting times. We're seeing the awakening of the ecclesia. That's awesome. And the ecclesia is moving out in prayer. Moving out in prayer. Faith-filled prayers of intercession for our nation that have been powerful. They have been powerful. If you've seen what's been happening, what's been going on. Because there is so much evil out there. But we must continue to pray. See, if you look, you can see God is on the move. And he is turning things around. He is turning things around. You know, to take back the promised land, it wasn't an overnight thing. When they took the promised land back, it was city, by area, by area. That's how they did it, by kingdoms. And that's what we have to do. That's why he tells us, do not grow weary. Do not grow weary. I got to encourage you because, you know, there's a lot of people that they want to look at everything around them. Don't grow weary. See? So don't be moved by what you see on the news. If you're still watching the news. Or on social media. I'm just telling you, you can get inundated with things. You know, you just keep coming over. Somehow they can get right into putting it on your phone and I just swipe it off. I don't even take time to read them. Because I know they're not truthful. I know they're not truthful. When I need the truth on a situation, I pray and I get into the Word. And I ask God to reveal it to me, what I need to know. Keep me focused. Because if I'm focused on all that stuff, he can't impart to me to be able to impart to you. Now, I'm not ignorant. I do keep up on what's going on. But I don't dwell on it. I don't concentrate on it. I get in the Word, and I'm going to move on with it. Because we have the victory. We have the victory. Don't be deceived by thoughts that come into your head. Thoughts of doubt. Mm-mm. You got to put them thoughts under the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. Because in James chapter 5, verse 16. This, I'm going to read from the Amplified Classic Edition. It says, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous believer can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. Yeah. When put into action and made effective by God. When prayer is made in faith. When it's made in faith, unwavering. He understands sometimes when you get a little rock there. But you just keep praying in faith. You got to trust in Him. Because what He's, if you look to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. It says, therefore I say to you. Now, but I got to stop and ask a question. Who is saying that? That's right. Jesus Christ Himself is saying that. He is saying, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. He didn't make any excuse. He just told you point blank, there's what it is. When you pray, believe that you receive and you will have them. But you got to be patient and continue to keep praying what you prayed for. And you keep thanking Him for it. Keep thanking Him for it. And you watch it not come to pass. And don't slow the process down. Okay? See, it's in our court the whole time. God's there with us to encourage us, to take us along. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm right there with you. Keep praying. Keep believing. In fact, what did he say, Sherry? Simply believe, did he not, Sherry? Yeah. That was it. Simply believe. Because in Hebrews 11:6 it says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. But it also goes on to say this in that verse. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Believing that God is or exists is only the beginning. Because in James chapter 2, verse 19, James chapter 2, verse 19, it says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Yeah. They know He's there. But until we come out against them, they're going to have free rein on us. Get rid of them demons. Hallelujah. And if they're in your children, cast that demon out. Hallelujah. They're real. They are real. I'm not trying to imagine, but I'm just telling you, they are real. Demons and evil spirits are real. And they're out there. And where do you think all this chaos and all this, you know, confusion is coming from? He wants to defeat us as a nation and as individuals. If He has to take us one at a time, He will. And that's why we can stand strong, because we can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It's the words you speak. How important are words? We know they're important. They create things. God proved it. They create things. And what do we do? We're going to call those things to be not as though they were. There's power in our words. There's life in our words and there's death in our words. Be cautious with your words. You know, and you might speak them over other people, think I'm talking. But you know what? We do that over ourselves. Things we speak over our own selves. Man, Father, I thank You that we render all those words of negativity against each and every one of us be null and void having no effect upon our physical bodies, our mental status, Lord God, or our emotions now, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. Whew. Hallelujah. God's not going to settle for a mere acknowledgement of His existence. He will not. See, He wants a personal, dynamic relationship with us that will transform our lives. When we diligently seek the Lord, we will be rewarded with His intimate presence. Intimate presence. You know what it is to be intimate? That's what He's talking about here. You'll know the presence of God is there. And that's mighty. All right. Psalm 33, we got to continue here. Verse 13. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of His dwelling, He looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. God sees all and He knows all. He knows the thoughts and intents of the heart of man. Luke 8:17. Hey, Ted, that's a good one. Good one, brother. Okay. Luke 8:17, for the discussion we had earlier. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. That again was our Lord and Savior Jesus speaking. Now, if you look to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. All will give an account. All. That includes us. Not just all those out there that we see and all that wickedness is coming on. Every one of us are going to have to give an account. Well, praise God, we have Jesus. Right? Our intercessor. Ever living to make intercession for us. Verse 14 there. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast our confession. Well, in Romans 10:9-10. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, there is where our hope lies, in our confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. See that, Vic? That's where our hope lies. It's in our confession. In our confession of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, people think it must be a complicated process. But see, you know, it is not. And I'm speaking to the choir here, I know. But if one believes in their heart and says with their mouth that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord, they will be saved. It's what the Scripture says. Isaiah 28. Okay, Shirley, here we go. Now, follow closely. This is the Amplified Classic Edition, verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of sure foundation. He who believes, trusts in, relies on, adheres to the stone will not be ashamed or given way or hasten away in sudden panic. Jesus is the cornerstone of our sure foundation. In Matthew, you got to know where you're building at, what you're building upon. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Again, Brother Dean, I know I'm using your version. Okay. Amplified Classic Edition. So everyone who hears these words of mine, now who do you think is speaking? Real loud, who's speaking?
Jesus,
that's right. And acts upon them, obeying them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. To build on the rock means to be a hearing, responsible disciple. Not a phony baloney, superficial one. Practicing obedience will bring the solid foundation where you can stand to weather the storms of life. Now, verse 26. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a stupid, foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great and complete was the fall of it. You know, like a house of cards. Yeah. The fool's life crumbles. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking of you, Shirley. Crumbles. Not cookie crumbles, see? If you haven't been there, you got to go there. Hallelujah. Just ask Shirley. Hallelujah. Most people do not deliberately seek to build on a false or inferior foundation. Instead, they just don't think about their life's purpose. Many people are headed for destruction, not out of stubbornness. Now, there are some, but out of thoughtlessness. So we need to get them established onto the rock. We need to give them hope. Hope in the Lord, like we have. The song, On Christ the Solid Rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the Solid Rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Build your house upon the rock. Amen. Now remember, Jesus is our compassionate high priest. Back to Hebrews there in chapter 4. Back to Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14 again. And there is, right? Well, I want to read this one, right? Where am I? There? Okay. 14. Sorry, I was one up, but we could have read 13 too. Now, there, and 13 says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus can identify with us. He was tempted. He had to deal with emotions just like we do. He felt pain. He endured sorrow and grief. He experienced loneliness and abandonment. Yeah, he can sympathize with our weaknesses. Well, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The word come here is the same Greek word translated to draw near. So we're told, let us draw near. This command strongly contrasts with God's command at Mount Sinai in Exodus 19:12, where he said, do not come up to the mountain or touch the base of it. He told the people, don't come up to the mountain and don't you touch the base around it. Not even your livestock. Crispy critter time. Back then you weren't allowed to approach God. But because of Jesus Christ and his priestly work, we can approach God's presence. We can approach God's presence. We should courageously approach God in prayer because he is a throne of grace. And Jesus, our high priest, Jesus Christ, sits at the right hand interceding for us. See, because boldly we are to approach him. And that is also rendered with confidence. Amen. We are to approach him with confidence. Meaning, plainness of speech, fearlessness, or courage. Not with an arrogance, but boldly. Because we're not afraid. Because Jesus is going with us. He's sitting there already. Says he's making intercession for us. That should be comforting to know that Jesus is our high priest. See, with him there, that means you can go right in. The veil has been torn. Jesus can identify with us. All the emotions we have had to deal with, so did he. All the pains we feel, he felt. All forms of sickness and disease, he was afflicted with on his body on the cross. Every one of them. There's nothing new. That's why the number 39 was really important. 39 stripes upon his physical body. Because the roots of every disease and sickness comes from 39 roots. There's the affliction. Grief and sorrows, he has experienced. Loneliness and abandonment, he knows them all too well. Even when a family member can hurt you. He found out, he knew what that was like. Because his daddy had to turn away from him because of all the sin that was on him. Right? Oh Lord, my Lord. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Right? He was left alone to suffer so that he could identify with us and what we're going through. But when you identify with him, but you also got to identify with the resurrection power that he has in his physical body. He has healing power within him. It's all within him. We just need to tap into that. So what I'm going to tell you today is open up and talk to him. Talk to him today. His in-depth understanding, compassion, and love will bring comfort to you. It will. See, he's waiting to hear from us. So Ted, with that, call him up. Amen? I'm telling you, call him up today. Hallelujah.